Okay, we are going to continue now in Shaar Beis, and we are in Perek Daled, and he is explaining now some deep, deep, deep stuff. He is explaining to us things which are dark, right, Doc? Things which are very dark, very thin, narrow, you gotta. So, there's four concepts basically are coming together in trying to explain the whole Indian of brachas. Okay, one is, why in the world, how can you give Hashem a bracha? Hashem doesn't need anything, right? A bracha means you need something, I'm giving it to you. He doesn't need anything, and furthermore, even if he did, chas v'shalom, we wouldn't be able to give it to him. So the whole concept of bracha doesn't exist. So that's difficult to understand. Number two is, to whom are we davening? Ata kiddushanu mitzvosav. Are we davening, you know, in which direction? Number three, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can never describe him himself. We are never talking about Hashem himself. We're always talking about Hashem. Whenever we describe anything about Hashem, it's not about Hashem himself. It's about Hashem as the Melech HaOlam. It's Hashem as far as he relates in his interactions with this world. Then we added on yesterday that it's not just, you know, he's in this world. It's Hashem himself, but it's Hashem himself as he's appearing into this world through his midos. Okay, because otherwise a person could kind of divorce the midah from Hashem, and that would also be a problem. So we always said it two ways. It's very bad to think that we're describing Hashem with the midos, because then you think that you understand that Hashem, you're limiting Hashem almost by saying that he has these midos on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's also just as bad to say, well, then I'm davening to the midos, because then you're divorcing the midos from Hashem and saying they have their own koch. There's like a koch of rachamim in the Bria that's divorced from Hashem. So it's also bad, right? So you can't talk to Hashem himself, and you can't talk to the midah himself. So what are you talking to? So we're talking to Hashem, but we're only talking to Hashem in his, as far as his ratzon is to interact with the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he has a ratzon to interact with the world, so therefore Hashem, in the bechina that he has a ratzon to interact with the world, that's the bechina I'm talking to him in, but not him himself. Like we gave a mashal yesterday with a guy who's in charge of a municipality, and you come and you start talking to him about his personal stuff. Don't talk to him about personal stuff. It's none of your business. You know, you talk to me about my business, which is how I rule over or legislate over this municipality. But don't start discussing with me my own personal stuff. It's none of your business. So we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to the midos, but we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only insofar as he has a ratzon to exist as interacting with the world. That was the point. Now that that's true, he's going to start explaining now what is the concept of bracha. Because we said the concept of bracha doesn't mean a praise. It means ribui tosefes. Ribui, adding on, tosefes. You take a little bit, you add to it, right? We always said bracha is beis, is two. Auror is one. It's when you make, you're multiplying.
Can you say it's acknowledging? It's acknowledging.
Yeah, but we're actually doing that. It's actually adding. It sounds like he's saying that the bracha adds the koach. It does. It adds a ribui. It adds a ribui and tosefes. But the question is, where are we adding that ribui and tosefes? We're adding a ribui and tosefes bracha in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If a person gives you a bracha, so he's saying, whatever pranas you have, I want it to be more. So what do we want to be more? How are we adding a bracha to Hashem? That's the problem, right? So he says like this. This sentence I'm going to say now, this here explains why Shaar Beis is after Shaar Aleph. This here is the connector between everything we learned in Shaar Aleph now into Shaar Beis. Okay, so listen carefully. The first, everything we said now in Shaar Beis was to get to this point. I think. I mean, probably next week I'm going to say everything is to get to that point. But for right now, everything we said is to get to this point. And the point is that there is actually, through our bracha, there actually is a ribui v'tosefes happening. In our bracha, we are actually adding something. So question, adding to Hashem? What? What does that mean? I thought it's impossible. No. But we just described a minute ago, we described that there's a place that Hashem wants, that his ratzon is that he wants to interact with the world. In that place, there's room for us to determine how much bracha is he going to be adding into the world through his interaction to the world. When he interacts with the world, is he going to be interacting and adding in bracha and how much shefa is he going to be bringing? Or is he going to be interacting in the world with a little bit more, you know, frugally? You know, it's not going to be as generous. Okay? So just like we said in Shar Aleph, we said the concept of Tenu Oz Le'Lokim, that through our mitzvos, we empower HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kind of, right? Through our mitzvos, we are an Elohim here, because we have the ability to empower, quote-unquote, Hashem, because he set up the world that way, that we should be able to empower how much he's going to be giving to the world. Like we gave the mashal with the pipes, right? The water pipes that you know, kind of, we can open or close it. And how much does it open? So when we talk to, when we're saying a bracha to Hashem, we're not talking to Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Because Hashem has the power. He doesn't need our bracha to Sefer Zribui, obviously. Hashem himself. But the Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, the Hashem who is the Melech HaOlam, the Hashem who is interacting with our world, set himself up in a way that he's going to interact with the world as much as we empower him to do so, right? So the word, when we do a bracha, what we're doing is we're actually adding a ribui and a tosefes to how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midah of the Melech HaOlam can be interacting with us. Okay, so you hear? Yeah, I was saying before the question, but did you hear? Was it kind of clear the concept? Because it's a geshmaka concept. It puts together the whole Shar Aleph with right now the beginning of Shar Beis now. Because we're saying is that it's really up to us to open up the channels for the bracha to come through, but only not obviously in the koach of Hashem himself, because the koach of Hashem himself is endless. But it's in how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting as the Melech HaOlam, how much he's revealing himself in this world, that we have an ability through our bracha to add more to Sefes to it. Yeah.
If nobody did any mitzvot and nobody did any bracha and the world was just like
barren. Whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Hashem wouldn't sustain the world, wouldn't give the world the food it needs, wouldn't give the oxygen, wouldn't...
Right. So I mean, first of all, there was a mavel. So, you know, they didn't recognize Hashem. And second of all, there's a Rashi. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give rain to the world until Adam came, because then Adam could daven for it. So there is such an idea. I mean, in other words, the world was created in that way. Not that Hashem can't do it, but that's the way Hashem created the world. The way Hashem created the world is in order to... Now, you could tell me, well, let's say right now no one is acting that way. But then Hashem says, well, I got to do it because I need to create a generation that will. So it's all to get to that point. But if there would be a point in time where we would know that no one's going to recognize Hashem and no one's going to, you know, empower Hashem in that way, so then, you know, in Hanami.
But that is through the beraha or through the mitzvot?
Okay, so the detail and how mitzvot do it and how bracha does it, I think he's going to talk about, you know, a little bit further, maybe even here, and maybe a little even further, okay? But I have right here in the end of chapter 4, I have in this printing of the Nefesh HaChayim, so he has a commentary. So he actually has a chapter at the end, right here, that's titled Hachiluk Bein HaMitzvot LaTfilot. What is the distinction between how brachas do it and how tefillah and how mitzvot do it? Okay, but you're right. I mean, I think that bracha is just much more direct. The bracha is much more direct because the bracha is talking about it. The bracha is giving directly the riboy and the tosefet in order to be able to empower Kadosh Baruch Hu to give even more. That's really what's going on. So this now helped us understand what the whole concept of bracha is. Incredible. Okay, the concept of bracha is ribui b'tosefet. I want to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a bracha. You give Hashem a bracha? What? Yes. Not Hashem himself, because we said that there's the Hashem himself. Then there's the midah of Melech, how he's interacting with the world. Yeah, in that midah of Melech, it's up to us. We are the ones that are going to determine how much a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. How much is a Kadosh Baruch Hu able to mashpia is to our brachot. Now, if that's true, so when a person makes a bracha, so almost who's benefiting? Is he the one that benefits? Or he, because of him, everyone's benefiting, right? So the answer is yes, but you get rewarded for bringing benefit to everybody. Just like if you give tzedakah by benefiting other people, you get rewarded for that. So you kind of, the schar that we get for saying brachot is that, not that we're asking Hashem give it to us, but rather we're saying Hashem, now we're, not, since we're the ones that we brought the shefa to the world, we should get rewarded for that. That's kind of the point, okay? Now, there's a Gemara in Brachot. I want to pull up the Gemara. I want to show you something that it's literally, you know, very, very, very fascinating. You know what? I think I'm going to pull it up from here. From this thing has the whole shas. It's very geschmack. So I'm going to show you a piece of Gemara here. And I want to just show it with you, share it with you. Okay, you guys see the Gemara out here? It's the first Amud in the sixth chapter of Brachot. And it says here, like this. It says, Amar Rab Chanina Bar Papa, the first line of the Gemara here. It says, Kol anene min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. Somebody that enjoys something from this world without a bracha, ki'ilu goyzel l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like he's stealing from Hashem. Now, right there, if you would stop right there, what do you think he's stealing from Hashem? What's he stealing from Hashem? What?
What he's enjoying.
The fruit, right? You think he's stealing from Hashem the fruit. But then look at the, it doesn't make sense, because then look at the next word. Ki'ilu gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'Knesset Yisrael. He's stealing from the Jewish people too. How's he stealing from them? They don't own the fruit. So it says here, if you eat without a bracha, it's like you're stealing from Hashem and the Jewish people. Okay. So he's stealing from Hashem and from the Jewish people. So it's Shrer. How is he stealing from everyone? It says Rashi. Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi. What is he stealing? Et birchato. He's stealing the bracha. In other words, Rashi says he's not stealing the fruit, he's stealing the bracha. So what does that mean? What that means is that when a person eats a fruit and does not make the bracha, but there was an opportunity here to add, forget the fruit, who cares about the fruit? You're right, of course, you should have made a bracha on the fruit, but it's much, much more than that. You know why this fruit was created in the world? So that you could take the fruit and you could recognize Hashem, and you can make a bracha and use the fruit as an opportunity to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring bracha and shefa into the world. And you could have taken that fruit and said, Hashem, you're the Melech Olam, and we recognize that. And now we're opening up the gates to bring tons more bracha to the world. And what'd you do? You ate it. Hashem says, what are you doing? I created this fruit to allow you to make a bracha to me. So you stole the bracha, not that you stole the fruit. You stole the opportunity to make a bracha, which brings tremendous amount of shefa to the world. And that's why it says, it's like you stole from Hashem and from the Jewish people. Because you stole that shefa, You stole that extra bracha that could have come to the world through your bracha from all your neighbors. All your neighbors would have benefited had you made a bracha. And because you would have opened up the channel a little more. Now you left the channel closed. So you're a selfish guy. You're rushing to eat your apple. You're a selfish guy. What is this? You should have made the bracha and now opened up the channels, not just for you, but for your whole, for everybody. So therefore, if you eat without a bracha, you're stealing from Hashem and from the Jewish people. Amazing, amazing Rashi. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim brings this pshat from the Zohar, that that's what the Gemara means. We'll see it a little further next week. This is the concept now, putting together the first five prakim of chapter of Shaar Beis. We're seeing the buildup now, that really, this is where this is how tefillah is going to shape up. Tefillah is going to go in this direction where we're kind of tapping into a much greater source. And then, you know, hopefully we'll get a little more clarity.
So when they say that if no one in the world was learning, then the world couldn't exist?
Right, because there's no shefa coming down, right? There's not, it's closed.
You don't think Hashem would have chesed and continue to support the world even if nothing positive, like it wasn't creating any brachot, zechuyot, whatever you want to call it?
Nefesh HaChaim said that before also. Is that what gives the spiritual energy to the world is the learning of Torah. Now, obviously, like someone mentioned before, there's the Torah, there's tefillah, and there's brachot and mitzvot. So everything plays a role. But
you weren't doing any of those things.
Right. I mean, if the people weren't doing any of those things and they weren't makir Hashem, then that's the mabul, isn't it? That's a certain level.
They were stealing. They were doing. They were immoral. But if they just were neutral, they were just like not doing Mekadesh Shamayim, they were just whatever.
The Chara, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a purpose. If it's not fulfilling its purpose, then what's the point? I don't know. If you created anyone, we'd be like that, no? If the city put up a park and no one uses it, so then they would close it down, wouldn't they?
They might leave it open for a few years, you know.
Look, we're in digital, Kodak closes eventually, right? There's no film, right? So,
but those berachot is only berachot ne'enin or all kind of berachot?
I think it's saying that Gemara is about ne'enin, but the whole concept of bracha is this one it's doing. It's opening up. I don't know exactly what Birkat HaMitzvot is doing yet. I have to see further. I think it's okay. A similar concept in that it's opening up more channels and we're tapping into a higher point, you know?
We say Safek for the Hakel.
Oh, that's a good question.
I think because you're doing more harm when using Hashem's name unnecessarily.
Okay, good. That's a good shot. But by the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks that question. Rabbi Akiva Eger, Adam, you're Machavan to Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks that question. Doc is happy. Doc likes when we mention Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asked that question. And actually, by the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, because of that, Safek Brachot LaHakel is only on a mitzvah. That means let's say you want to do a mitzvah and you don't know if you should make a bracha. Look, let's say lulav. I don't remember, did I take the lulav yet or did I not take the lulav? So of course, take the lulav, don't say the bracha because what are you going to do otherwise? Not take the lulav. But he says Safek Brachot LaHakel does not apply to food. If you have safek brachot lakel on food, you should not eat the food. That's what he says. Rabbi Akiva Eger says safek brachot lakel does not apply to food because of this question. Because it's gzeila. What do you mean safek brachot lakel? It's safek gzeila lachmir. So Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that safek brachot lakel does not apply to food. It only applies to mitzvot. So your question is valid. And he says, by the way, that the Rambam holds like that also. Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that the Rambam and the Rif hold that way. Just Tosfot doesn't hold that way. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. So you're pretty on the ball.
No, but Safek Brachot meaning like, I wasn't sure if I had kavanah for this item now to make a brach on it.
That's what I'm saying. Rabbi Akiva Eger says in that case, if you don't know, then you shouldn't eat it.
But you're allowed to, Lamase.
I'm just saying I'm validating your question. I'm saying your question, your Machavat or Rabbi Akiva Eger in that question. I wonder what do those that argue on Rabbi Akiva Eger hold? they hold that if you don't have to make the bracha, it's not ganema. So therefore, there's no gezela because the halacha is you don't have to make the bracha. And you shouldn't make the bracha because you're saying Hashem's name in vain. So the gezela starts from that the bracha. But others say, you have to make the bracha.
When you make a bracha, you make a kaddish shemaim. But if Hashem's name potentially in vain,
Exactly.
They'll do the same thing, so you don't want to mess up.
Right.
What's wrong with making the bracha then like several times? Making lots of bracha.
No. There's halachas. You have to learn the Shulchan Aruch. You have to know exactly when do you say a bracha on what. You can't just, you don't necessarily just add to it for no reason. But if it's a suffix, whether you're mechuyev, that's what we're talking. Right,
you don't want to use Hashem's name unnecessarily. It could be using his name in vain. So,
right. So risk is not worth it. Right. All right. Okay, everyone, have a great Shabbos.
You too. Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
We're making progress.
Yeah. I got a little more clarity too.